Let's go ahead and turn back to 1 John chapter 4, if you don't mind. 1 John chapter 4. And because it's been so long, I'll read the whole thing again. Just the first 6 verses. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are they of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In past times I spoke about trying the spirits. That's our job. That's what we are to do with what we hear and with what we read, to see whether or not these things are of God. Because there's a lot out there that is not of God. It's everywhere. John wrote this almost going on 2,000 years ago. The spirit of Antichrist was in the world then. It's still here now. And it hasn't gotten any better. Matter of fact, I believe evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That was written about 2,000 years ago. That's what's happening now. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. This is the true Jesus Christ of the Bible, not the Jesus Christ of anyone's imagination. There are lots of those. There are guys, actual human beings right now walking around pretending to be and proclaiming themselves to be the Son of God, or calling themselves Jesus Christ. They're liars. But they're out there. But it doesn't have to be that blatant. All it has to be is for not to tell the truth of God as it is in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And we're surrounded by it. All the truth is of Jesus Christ. All of the lies about the Father, about the Christ, and about the Holy Spirit are of Antichrist. John states this plainly, he states it boldly, and he also warns us, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Well, even now it's here. And it's still here. But right now, I'm going to drop down to verse 6, because that's where I was wanting to go. With this statement, we are of God. We are of God. There's a lot more to this statement than most people think. This is not a boast in any way, shape, or form by John. This is what some people think when you say, if you would say something, I am of God, or we are of God. Well, you're boasting. No, that's not what the statement means. It means we are of God. Anything good that I have is of God. It's not of me. And see, that's the part they misunderstand, because they don't know anything about God. They think it's of me. They think it's of them, because that's all they know. But we, believers, little children, beloved, the sons and daughters are of God. That's the statement. That's the Jesus Christ we preach. Any child of God is a child of God. Everything comes from God to His children, His chosen ones. It's not of ourselves, it's of God. Believers are of God. They are exactly that. They are of, from God. They were chosen of God in Christ before the foundation of the world. They are given life by the Spirit when it is their time, as pertains to God, not as pertains to man. They are given the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in them. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. Walter's been talking about it. What's the next part say? It's the gift of God. It's from God. We are from God. Anything we have comes from God. Everything of value comes from God. Now, my sin, I can own that. My flesh, I can own. My flesh is of me. I was born with it. I'm stuck with it until He gets rid of it. It's still here. But my being, my believing, my faith, my life is of God. It's from God. And I am created, and you are created, unto good works. Guess what? Those are of God too. They are ordained to walk in good works. Believers are. And they do walk in good works. Why? Because He ordained them to walk in them. And He puts in them both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, is everything I do a good work? Do. Some days, not even close, I don't think. But I have been ordained to walk in good works. And sometimes I do, even in spite of myself. Most of the time, it seems like in spite of myself. There is, quote Romans 7, a war in my members. There's a war going on in every believer that unbelievers don't understand because they don't have it. You got to have a new nature for it's going to go to war with your old nature. You got to have the Spirit before there's going to be a war with the flesh. Otherwise, there's no war. Now, there may be some burdened by a conscience. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. The family of God totally comes from God. The flesh I own. But the Spirit is from Jesus Christ. And it is His gift to His people. And He gives it. The Father quickeneth, even so I quickeneth, just as I've seen the Father. I give life where there was only death. And that's where the war comes from. Because if all you got is only death, you're fine. That's what the world will not see about that statement. They think we're boasting that we are of God, and you are not. Well, that's true. Believers are of God, and others aren't. But it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with the work of God. The fact that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He purchased us. He purchased his people, and he gives life to his people because he has redeemed his people. He offered the sacrifice to God, and God is satisfied. And Jesus Christ has saved his people from their sin. And now he's manifesting it even to us. He's revealing himself to his people when he wants. That's how we know we are of God. By revelation from Jesus Christ. By life from the Spirit. It's in us, but it wasn't of us. It's of God. We are of God. It's not a boast. It's a thank you. It's a thank you to God. The only reason I'm here is because God. The only reason you should be here is because of God. It's Him. It's His work in His will and His way in His people. In his time and in his place. We are of God. And that's what the world won't see. And right after this, John writes, "He that knoweth God heareth us." He that knoweth God hears we who are of God. He that knows God will hear us. He that knows God will hear that Jesus Christ is God, manifest in the flesh, and that he saved his people from their sin. They will hear this book. They will read this book. And some things they'll understand, as understanding is given. So that's the part a lot of people don't get. Understanding is given just like everything else, from God. These words have been in this book for I don't know how long. When was the King James done? 1611? 1641? 500 years. It was written in Latin and in Greek and all that stuff before that. This word's been around. But man, as he is born, the natural man, cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. The spiritual man can. And the spiritual man does. Now, I can be a perfectly wonderful witness to the fact that I do not understand anything perfectly. And I certainly don't understand everything. There's no way. But by his grace, I understand more than I used to. There is a growth in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's not a growth in grace, as some people think to go to a higher level of spirituality, but it is a growth in grace and in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I know more about Jesus Christ than I did 23, 30 years ago whenever I started. How old am I now? 54, 31 years ago. And I hope you know more than you used to know. I believe you do. because I know God provides that growth in the grace and the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's part of His gift to us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that these things be so. He'll take the things of me and show them to you. That was the job the Comforter had, that Christ explained to His disciples. He that knoweth God heareth us. This is because he that knows God knows Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. This is eternal life, to know thee and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Our only knowledge of God comes through Christ. You don't know God unless you know Christ. That's it. That's the only way to know God is through Jesus Christ. He that knows Christ Jesus knows the Father. He that does not know Christ Jesus does not know God. And he that knows God hears us because his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We still have the old nature. There's still the flesh. But thank God, there has been an addition of the Spirit. This was a gift given to us and in us. The Comforter, Christ said, the Comforter shall come. And he's going to be in you because he's going to dwell there. He's going to live there. This was unheard of at the time. But it's been heard of since then. Because Christ said it. It happened. And it's happening now. For each and every one of his people. In his time and in his place. The Spirit, his Spirit, is something we don't have naturally. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot. He can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man knoweth all things. Those that know God do have His Spirit, and they hear the truth of God in Jesus Christ. This is the gift from the Holy Spirit given only to those to whom He has regenerated life. Who said that? Christ said it. I'm going to read it here. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. This is John 16, verse 12. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Didn't say He might, didn't say He would try. He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall, speaking again still of the Comforter, He shall glorify me. For He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me again. Ye shall not see me, excuse me. And again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. The Spirit shall glorify Christ Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit the things of Christ. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now what's mine? Well, he answered it. The next verse. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit teaches us of Christ's life, his birth, incarnation, his birth, his life, his death, and the results of that death. His resurrection and the results of his resurrection, his ascension, and his seated. And his sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is seated now at the right hand of the Father. I don't know. I mean, I've used this before, and I'll use it again because I've heard it on television. I think I heard it in person once. But it was mostly on television, and then Henry Mahan made fun of it, and of course it stuck in my head. They've got Jesus Christ leaning over the banisters of heaven, hoping somebody will let him have his way. And they have Jesus Christ sitting out in the middle of a sheepfold as the good shepherd saying, "Hey sheep, come here." That ain't what the Bible says about the good shepherd. The good shepherd goes out and finds his sheep, and he brings them in. He's not out there whistling for them like sheep were dogs. He goes out and finds his sheep and he brings them in. He's not leaning over the banister of anything. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, expecting that his enemies be made his footstool, which means that they are going to be put under his feet, which means that he is going to walk on them, which is not going to be pleasant for his enemies. What's the phrase? Treading the winepress of God's wrath? Getting stepped on is not good. Being under somebody's feet is not good. Bowing the knee to him is good. Submitting to him who is God is good. Believing him is good. Loving him is good. It's not natural, but it's good. It's spiritual. He's coming again. And some people are going to be rudely surprised. And some people are going to be happily surprised. And I want to be one of those that's happily surprised. Because I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, and neither did the Mayans. It's okay, their civilization's over. Somebody had to, you had to stop that calendar sometime, Reed. But John writes that he that knoweth God heareth us. I want to hear of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I come here. I want to learn of my Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my God. I can lay claim to him because he laid claim to me. That's the only reason why I can lay claim to him. But I want to make it personal because it is personal to me. Whether anybody else believes, I believe him. Because he is my God. He is my Lord. And then became my Savior. And I didn't make him either thing, Mason. I didn't make him my Savior and I didn't make him my Lord. He already was. He already was. Before he came, he was my Lord. Before the world was made, he was my Lord because I was chosen in him, and so were you, and so were all of his people. from before the foundation of the world. He is Lord. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Christ. And this is the next statement is the one that gets you. And it'll slap you in the face if you ain't looking. Even if you are looking. He that is not of God heareth not us. That's a condemnation. And that's a fact that I have witnessed and felt firsthand. He that is not of God heareth not us. If you don't know Christ, you don't know God. If you know Christ, you know God. But if you don't know Christ, you don't know. You don't know the Father. There's no way to know the Father without the Son. That's it. There's no way to know the Son unless He gives Himself to you. He that is not of God heareth not us. That sounds pretty simple. And once again, here we have the negative after the positive. And once again, we have John telling us there's a division. Among people. There's a division. There are those who are of God, and there are those who are not of God. It's pretty simple. I seem to remember somewhere somebody said something about bringing division, Walter. I think it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came not to bring peace, but a sword. He came to set human families at variance within the whole family. He said to some, it is given to understand, and to others, it is not given. You can't do it by yourself. I can't do it by myself. To some, it was given, though. That's part of the division. To others, it's not given. Those without the Spirit of God do not understand. Those without the Spirit of God cannot understand. And I'll tell you something, the world hates that. I brought something. It's show and tell time. Last Saturday, not yesterday, but last Saturday, because I was carrying this up Flat Top Mountain last week. Debbie and I went to Bob Evans, and when we do, we normally get a newspaper, so we'll work the crosswords while we're waiting for our food. And I saw this actually, the start of this article was on the front page at the top, and I said, well, I got to get this paper. A great sense of God's Holy Spirit Force Burdett church members say their pipe organ is one of a kind. It's a nice pipe organ. I got a picture of it. But I'm sorry to have to, well, I can't burst her bubble, but I would if I could. A pipe organ is not where you get a great sense of God's Holy Spirit. But the world loves stuff like this. They will eat it up and put it in the paper. And I'm telling you, I'm serious. That's why on the front of the paper, on the front page, at the top, there was a little piece there that said, ooh, a great sense of God's Holy Spirit. So I said, well, I got to buy this paper. It was made for me. Not really. People will look for God's Holy Spirit in a pipe organ, but they won't look for it in Christ. They won't look for Him in Christ. They won't look for Him in this book. They won't look for Him in the words that you will speak to them. And in the books that are written, and there are some good books written. They're hard to find now, but thankfully, some of them are getting easier thanks to the International World Wide Web. You can download them and read them on a Kindle, on an electronic device. People still won't believe it. They can download this and read it online, I guess, about God's holy pipe organ. I don't know. But I do know that that's not where God's Holy Spirit is sensed. It's not in music, although music can be good. It's not in song, although songs can be good. God's Holy Spirit, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit about the things of Christ, about the truth that is in Jesus Christ. Now, it's about time for me to quit. I was going to go into this whole thing, Walter, about he that, not a God, doesn't hear us. The world is in the midst of a big debate. I will read you this, because I read this, and I actually read this in a piece of fiction. Don't make faces, Mason. There's some truth in there every now and then. I read it. This is extraordinary. It was written by a secular writer in a piece of fiction, and he was relating something that the secular world usually denies. And this is what he wrote, and I quote it. Copied it down, word for word. It said, intelligence and education does not make any important difference in human nature. It is right. And I read it, I had to read that to Deb. I said, I'm going to put that in here. See, there's a big debate going on in the secular world, as we call it. Nature versus nurture. And I agree wholeheartedly with Walter. You can't fix stupid. Okay? But ignorance can be educated. Fears can be overcome. Sometimes, if you're not stupid. If you're stupid, all bets are off. You know, not much they can help you with. But that man writing that book hit upon a cardinal truth. Intelligence and education doesn't make any difference in human nature. It doesn't. He that is not of God heareth not us. That's against human nature to hear the truth of God as it is in Christ. You people are against nature right now. By listening to this. I am against nature by believing this. But thankfully I'm not against the Spirit of God believing this. I don't believe in pipe organs, Mason. There you go. There you go. Fiddle better, banjo, mandolin. I like the songs in this book that we've got. Some of them. But the Spirit of God's not in the music. All we can relate to is the words. That's what He uses to teach us. The spoken word, the written word, the signed word, the language. He that is not of God heareth not us. Right. It's not that our words are unintelligible. It's not that our points are not logical. They won't have it. They will not listen. Like when they told that in the parable that Christ told, we will not have this man to reign over us. I will. By His grace, by His power, by His mercy, and by His love, I want that man to reign over me. And I want to hear those that are of God. And I want to hear about my Lord Jesus Christ. I like it. And I like talking about Him. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. But most of all, we're thankful for Your Son, our Lord, who came and gave Himself an offering for sin, the sin of His people, and who has redeemed us out of the world and is translating us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, His dear Son. Thank You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.